Good morning and welcome to Friday morning, and not just any Friday. This is opening the door to a very busy weekend in the province. Rock the River, folk festivals, dragon boat races, show and shine, sports dinners, rider games. And let's not forget, harvest is underway in a big part of the province. Sadly, farmers getting a bit of a gut punch as they climb onto the combine. Canola tariffs, of course, have been a big topic of conversation. We'll be talking about that on the show. Air Canada flight stoppage has already started. Tomorrow's D-Day on that. We'll keep you up to date on that. And, of course, a big meeting today, Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin in Alaska. All that and a whole lot more. Let's get going. Here is today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The Big Talker.
Well, our first guest today, very, very busy. He was doing a news conference yesterday just outside of the city of Saskatoon. He's 3 days away from a by-election, and he sits in studio with us, the leader of the Conservative Party of Canada, Pierre Poilievre. Mr. Poilievre, thanks for being here.
Good to be with you, Evan. Thanks for having me.
And in a province where you have roots.
Deep roots. My folks are from Saskatchewan. My mother lived in Aberdeen, Dalmany, and then Saskatoon. My father's from Leoville, and they were married and lived here in Saskatoon until 77 when they moved to Calgary, where they had me in 79, 2 years later. That was a time when a lot of folks were going from Alberta to, sorry, from Saskatchewan to Alberta for economic reasons. But we would be back here in Saskatchewan every summer to visit family on both sides of my mother and my father's side of the family. Cousins' farms, grandparents lived here before they passed away. So I have a lot of background in Saskatoon in particular, and Saskatchewan in general. Great province, and it's wonderful to be on the prairies.
You get a lot of street cred when you can drop some of the names that you just
yes,
dropped.
That's
not
right.
Knows where Leoville, Saskatchewan is.
But yeah, well, I do. My father grew up mostly there, and he was born in the Spiritwood Hospital.
Right.
And but I've been all over the province. I spent a lot of time in Weyburn, Estevan, Mooseman, all over. So north, south, and everything in between.
So we're always happy to have federal leaders in the province. I have to admit, I was surprised to see you here literally 4 days ahead of this by-election. Does that speak to your confidence of the outcome of that election?
I think it speaks to the geography. We're right next door. You know, the riding I'm running in is in east central Alberta. So it wasn't a long drive. It would be long if you were a Torontonian, but for those of us who spent time on the prairies, it's not that long to go from eastern Alberta to Saskatoon. And we're back there today. We're holding a number of town halls and door-knocking sessions right through to Monday, and hoping for the best result.
So yesterday, I've done this rant a couple of times on the show. This longest ballot committee, 214, a record-breaking 214 names, notwithstanding the fact that legally it can be done, I'm calling it election interference. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. It is clearly targeted at me personally because I was the only federal leader that faced this in the last election. You know, if they were just trying to make a general point about the electoral system, they would have done it to all the leaders, but they didn't. They did one. And then they followed me to this by-election. The idea is to swamp the ballot, confuse the voter, make it more difficult for seniors, people with vision problems and disabilities, and others to actually cast their ballot properly. But we're working hard to make sure people know exactly how to vote.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there need for election reform, Mr. Poilievre?
Yes.
There, what steps should be taken?
Well, it's very simple on this one. All we'd have to do is say that every candidate that gets in the ballot has to have their own 100 signatures from local residents supporting them. And those signatures have to be unique. So you can only sign for one candidate. Mm-hmm. Then they would need 20,000 signatures to get 200 candidates. And that wouldn't happen. So what they've done is they've taken the same 100 signatures for all 200 candidates. And so it's easy. It costs nothing. There's no deposit. And it is a cheap way to ruin the experience for everyone else. And it's something we can fix and will fix.
Mr. Pierre Poilievre is joining us in studio, the leader of the Conservative Party of Canada. So, you know, we've seen tariffs, and most of them, of course, from the United States. The auto industry has been impacted, and there was a swift response by the federal government. Steel and aluminum, even the lumber industry, we saw recently a response. These canola tariffs, although not from the States, from China, It feels like it's been a lot more subdued. Our premier has been calling on the feds to do something. What needs to be done?
First of all, we have to cancel the $1 billion loan that the federal government is giving to BC Ferries to buy ships from China. You know, first of all, these ships should be built in Canada. We should have the ability to build ships, not just for ferries, but we need the shipbuilding capacity in the event that, God forbid, there's a war one day. And yet, the federal Carney government is giving a $1 billion loan to bankroll the acquisition of Chinese-made ships. I mean, at a time when they're attacking our farmers. Let's cancel that. I think we run a big trade deficit with the Chinese economy. Let's tariff other things and say that we're going to continue to tariff Chinese goods until they remove all of the tariffs on our agricultural and seafood products.
So we need to be more aggressive.
I think we do. I mean, Beijing is walking all over us. They smell weakness with Mark Carney. He's obviously backing down to Donald Trump. And so Beijing says this is someone who backs down when he's attacked. And that's why they're going after our farmers. And I also think it's crazy that, you know, Mark Carney said nothing about this, like literally nothing, dead silent. He had time to tweet about International Cat Day, but did not say a word about Chinese tariffs on our 40,000 canola producers across the country. I saw after I made that point, he suddenly got on Twitter very quickly and put out a post. But it really speaks to how this government ignores and disrespects the prairie producers and Western Canadians in general.
So what about the EV tariffs? Some people are saying putting those EV tariffs on is what got us here in the first place. Should they be coming off, or you're saying we need to be tariffing more Chinese products?
Well, I think we need to say to the Chinese government that this could get a lot worse, because we buy way more from the Chinese than they buy from us. Mm-hmm. They have a big surplus with us. They prevent our goods from getting into their economy already. And there are national security problems with Chinese EVs. These can be roving surveillance vehicles. They have cameras. They have GPS connections, satellite information, all kinds of data collection that could go right back to Beijing. And we have to be very careful about having 1 million Canadians driving around in what I describe as potentially roving surveillance vehicles controlled by the regime in Beijing.
Mm-hmm. Pierre Poilievre is my guest, Conservative Party leader of Canada. Okay, let's talk about United States mm-hmm. and U.S. tariffs. If you were in a room, we put you in a room one-on-one, no media, no staffers, nothing, you and Donald Trump, what are you saying?
Well, we're sure as hell not going to be the 51st state. But we can have a great trading relationship again. I think the deal that the Americans want and that we could accept is we strengthen our contribution to security and defense, and they give us free trade. So we should take full ownership of securing the Arctic. That means more icebreakers, Poseidon aircraft, fighter jets. We need at least two bases in the Arctic. We haven't had one since the Cold War. We need to do more of our part on defending the continent against threats like China, Russia, North Korea, Iran. And then in exchange for that, we demand to have more integration in trade. We should have full access to the American economy without tariffs attacking our exporters. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a deal that would win both countries better security, better wealth, and better safety.
So what's the strategy to get there? Maybe I'll ask, mm-hmm. What do you think of the way Mark Carney has handled this? The theory being, let's not get a quick deal, let's get the right deal, even if it takes time.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying we need to be faster, but what has Carney done so far? All he's done is make concessions. He originally said he would have dollar-for-dollar tariffs, and regardless of what you think of that idea, he then took the tariffs off, so he backed down. He said he would have a digital services tax on American tech, and then he backed down on that. And so Trump is detecting weakness. The result has been that Trump has actually doubled tariffs on Canadian exports since Carney became prime minister. So it's really hard to see what Carney has achieved. Meanwhile, we're becoming increasingly isolated as the Americans have signed deals with Europe, with Japan, South Korea, Vietnam. They have given extensions to Mexico and China, And we so far have gotten nothing. So if you just judge by the results, all of the hype about Mark Carney has failed to materialize in any serious result.
Let's pull back a little bit further than just the U.S. relationship. I've heard you yourself say that the Liberal Party has stolen some plays from the conservative playbook. What's, if you were giving a graded report card on what the Liberal government has come out with, has talked about, and maybe has implemented so far, anything good? And what are your criticisms? What would you do different?
Well, anything good. I mean, as you know, I led the national campaign to axe the federal carbon tax as a sort of a desperate election ploy. Mark Carney, who was kind of the granddaddy of the carbon tax, he was the one that pushed it, reversed himself. So it was good that we were able to force him to do that. But on a report card, I'd say they're a D- right now because they're not getting anything serious done. There's been lots of very good PR. I will credit them for that. Lots of meetings, lots of politicians patting each other on the back, but no results. What do we have to show? He hasn't identified a single pipeline he would build, a single LNG plant that he would add, a new mine that he's going to dig. Mm-hmm. He hasn't. The deficit is bigger under Mark Carney than it was under Justin Trudeau. It's hard to believe, but the financial situation has actually gotten worse under Carney compared to Mr. Budget Will Balance Itself, Justin Trudeau. The unemployment rate is higher. We're hemorrhaging jobs. Inflation is back on the rise. If you just look at the objective measurement and not the gushing media coverage, you'd have to say that in a lot of ways, Carney is not different than Trudeau. He's worse.
Pierre Poilievre is my guest in studio this morning, live with us. So we know that there's a focus on nation-building projects. Bill C-5 passes with your party supporting that. Can we see success through building infrastructure and growing nation-building projects without changing some of those policies that have been put in place in the last number of years?
No major success. We might have one or two wins. But let me give you an example of pipelines. So C-5 would allow the government to go around all the laws in order to get a pipeline approved. So let's say that they were theoretically to approve a pipeline from Hardisty, Alberta to Kitimat, BC. Then the companies would say, well, where are we going to get the oil? And Carney would say, well, from Alberta. And they would say, but you've got a production cap, so we can't produce any more oil to fill the pipe. And then they'd say, and where are we going to ship the oil? And he'd say, well, to Asia. And then the companies would say, but you've got a ban on shipping oil off the north coast of BC. So even if you approve a pipeline, you wouldn't have anything to put in it at the start point or take out of it at the end point. And therefore, no company's going to build that pipe. So you have to get rid of the ban on the offshore shipping of oil, and you'd have to get rid of the production cap. So my view is, instead of just having a law that goes around all of the bad laws, why not just get rid of all the bad laws? Mm-hmm. Get rid of the production cap, get rid of C-69, get rid of the ban on offshore shipping, the industrial carbon tax, get rid of all of those things, and then make this a place where the free enterprise system can invest hundreds of billions of dollars to build pipelines, LNG plants, the nuclear facilities, mines, and more, without having to go to politicians and seek special permission under a very unusual law, C-5.
Pierre Poilievre is my guest. Can you throw some of the gun laws in there?
Throw them out. I'm against all these ridiculous gun laws that target lawful people. We have to go after the criminals. Throw them in the slammer, and you'll solve the problem.
We've only got a couple of minutes left. Pierre Poilievre is my guest. The Canadian Sovereignty Act,
yes.
Something that will be on your agenda this fall. Can you talk about your priorities this fall when the House is back?
Yes. Sitting? The Sovereignty Act is designed to make our economy strong, self-reliant, and sovereign so we can make our own decisions and run our own lives. So it would legalize pipeline construction by getting rid of C-69, legalize shipping oil off the BC coast. It would speed up approval for LNG plants, mines, and other major projects. It'd get rid of the industrial carbon tax. And this one is fun a lot for your farming friends who are maybe thinking about retiring. It would get rid of the capital gains tax altogether for those who reinvest their proceeds in Canada. So right now you get a lifetime exemption on your capital gain, which is fine. I'd keep that. But anything above that, I would keep that as tax-free as long as the proceeds are reinvested in Canada. You buy Canadian stocks, a Canadian business, maybe you open a Canadian restaurant, then that capital can roll over again and again and again. And this would bring back the $500 billion of investment Liberals have driven to the United States of America. Imagine you could say to companies, look, you sell your investments abroad. We'll let you reinvest them tax-free here in Canada. The factories, the mines, the pipelines, the warehouses that would be built with that capital, this would boom, and it would really put us back in charge of our lives.
Pierre Poilievre is my guest. I'm going to do what I'm going to call rapid fire. I've got two questions in a minute. How long do you think this government will last before we see another election?
Look, it's a guess, but I think it'll be about 2 years.
Putin and Trump are meeting today. What should Canada's role, what should Canada's stance be in the Russia-Ukraine conflict?
The biggest contribution we can make is to sell our natural gas and oil to Europe to break their dependence on Putin.
And you're on the doorsteps over the next couple of days, meeting with people in Alberta. The by-election is on Monday. I don't doubt you are hearing from people in Alberta who think that it's time to separate from the rest of Canada. How do you respond to that?
I say the better way is for us to build alliances with our fellow Canadian provinces. Team up with Newfoundland, which wants to double its oil production. Team up with coastal First Nations that want to export our LNG to 2.5 billion Asian customers. Team up with suburban Toronto residents who want to throw criminals in the slammer so that the crime wave in that area stops. Team up with Quebecers who want the federal government to be smaller and the country to be more decentralized with provincial autonomy. Let's build alliances to get results. That is the best way forward.
Really appreciate you giving us some time. I know you got a busy schedule.
Thank
this
you,
weekend.
Evan. Thank you, and good luck with the harvest.
Yes.
I understand you're going to be out there on the combine.
Well, I'm the trucker. I'm the trucker.
You're
in
the
our
trucker.
Family.
That's,
my brother's the running the combine, but nonetheless,
that's very important. If you got it, a truck brought it.
Pierre Poilievre, thanks for coming
Thank
to
you.
The studio.